Welcome back to Torat Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Mrs. Michal Horowitz. Today we will continue our study of Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet Perek Chof Aleph. So the first pasuk tells us that Yehoshaphat dies. He was a good king. He was very successful. He trusted in Hashem. Vayishkav Yehoshaphat im avosav, vayikaver im avosav b'ir David. Of course, a metaphor for death. Yehoshaphat lay down with his fathers. He was buried in Ir David. Vayimlach Yehoram b'no tachtav. Yehoram, his son, rules instead of him. Now you're going to see in this parak, Yehoram is not a good king. He is not a successful king. He is, quite frankly, a failure in his kingship, and he brings ruination upon Malchus Yehuda. After I learned through and prepared the parak, I went back again. After I prepare, I re-prepare, and I thought it was so interesting that his name is Yehoram. Yod Hei Vav Resh Mem Sofis. Why? Rome is elevated or exalted. As in Hashem is Ram al Kol Goyim Hashem. Hashem is exalted over all nations. But the Torah warns us, V'ram, Perek Ches of Devarim, V'ram levavecha v'shachachtas Hashem elkecha. When we become haughty, when our heart becomes elevated, we forget Hashem our God. So Yehoram, the beginning letters stand for Shem Hashem, Yod Hei Vav, Ram. This is a person who became so haughty and thought such grandeur of himself, he ultimately was elevated over God, Kavi Achal Yehoram, one who thinks he is elevated over Hashem, and you will see how he is not successful at all. So Yehoshaphat dies, and his son Yehoram rules instead of him. Why Yehoram? Because he was the firstborn. The next pasuk tells us that. Okay? So where am I up to? Now, Yehoram has brothers. No, I'm sorry. Two psukim later tells he was the Bechor. Yehoram has brothers. Velo Achim. So Yehoshaphat, the good king, had other sons. He didn't just have Yehoram, but Yehoram was the Bechor. He had other sons. Azariah, Yechiel, Zechariahu, Azariahu, Michaul, Shvatayu. Kol Eile b'nei Yehoshaphat melech Yehuda. And again, if you look at the names of the sons, keeping in mind that Yehoshaphat was one who believed in God and stirred the people to repentance. Azariah, Hashem will help. Yechiel, hope to God. Zechariahu, remember God. Azariahu, Hashem will help. Shvatayahu, judge for Hashem. So Michael, interesting, my name is Michael, the Michael without the Aleph. Michael, the gematria of Michael, Mem Yerchaf Amr is 100, which is Kapitol Kuf of Tehillim, the Mizmor, the Soda. And the Pasuk is Matova, Lachayako, Mishkan, Asecha, Yisrael, one whose name begins with Mem and ends with Lam. And so you see that truly these sons names, Yehoshaphat gave his sons names that embodied the belief in God, but Yehoram was the black sheep, if you will. These were all the sons. And their father, Yehoshaphat, gave them many presents, matanos rabos, kesef, zahav, mikdanos. He gave them silver and gold and delicacies. He gave them in charge of the fortified cities in the land of Yehuda, but the kingdom, v'asham amlacha nasan liYehoram ki hu habechar. So Yehoram gets the kingdom, he is a bechar. Now, listen what happens next. Vayakum Yehoram al memlechas aviv. Yehoram gets up over the kingdom of his father. Vayis chazak, and he strengthens himself. Vayaharog es kol echav becharev. Did you hear what I just told you? Vayaharog es kol echav becharev. What kind of person is this? He kills all of his brothers by sword. There was Azariah, Yechiel, Zechariahu, Azariah, Michal, Shvatayu. He goes against his six brothers and he kills them by sword. And he also killed some of the princes of Israel. Rabbi Edin Steinzelt says, the killing of heirs or potential claimants to the throne occurs several times in the Bible, such as the murder of Gidon's sons by their brother Avimelech, the slaughter of the sons of Achav by Yehu. Such actions have been a common feature throughout history. In the Ottoman Empire of the 17th century, it was customary for a new sultan to execute all his brothers in order to prevent power struggles over the succession. So you might think, oh, that's the Ottoman Empire of the 17th century. Well, guess what? Yehoram got up and he killed all his brothers. This practice was halted only because of pressure from the clerics in Russia. The family of Tsar Nicholas II was liquidated in 1918 in order to prevent any claim to power or future return of the Tsarist regime. So it is quite shocking, at least to me, that Yehoram would get up and kill all of his brothers, but he is a wicked king. Ben Shloshim Ushtaim Shana. Yehoram b'mlacha. So how old was he when he ascends to the throne? He's only 32 years old. Ushmona shanim malach b'Yerushalayim. And for 8 years, He rules in Jerusalem, but he is not a good king. He doesn't go in the ways of Malchus Yehuda. We have learned previously that in Malchus Yisrael, they were idol worshippers, and they were not honest, and they were not honest in their relationship with God. And this king Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, goes in the ways of the kingdom of Israel. Kasher Asu Beis Achav, if you remember Achav and Yehoshaphat, they were Mechatunim, he went in the ways of Achav. Why? Kibas Achav Haisolo Isha. Do you remember that I told you Yehoshaphat had a son named Yehoram? Achav had a daughter named Atalia. Yehoram and Atalia married, and that's why Yehoshaphat and Achav made a partnership and went to war together. Ultimately, Achav was killed, if you remember, propped up in his chariot. But this is the Yehoram who is married to Achav's daughter. So therefore, he goes in the ways of the kingdom of Malchus Yisrael. Pasuk tells us, Vayas hara b'enei Hashem. He does bad in the eyes of Hashem. So Hashem's in a quandary because there are no surviving brothers. He's the only surviving brother. What was the lineage? David to Shlomo, to Rechavam, to Aviah, to Asa, to Yehoshua, to Yehoram. If Hashem destroys Yehoram and he's a bad king, let's say he dies in battle or some other way of dying, then what's going to happen? The kingdom will end. And the Pasuk tells you, V'lo ava Hashem lahashchis, says based David. Laman ha-bris asher karas to David. Hashem does not want to destroy the house of David because he made a covenant that kingdom would stay in the house of David. So he doesn't know what to do. Kaviyachos, if Hashem didn't know what to do. Of course, we're going to see that. There's a solution here. Now, in his days, Edom, who apparently until this time lived under the dominion of Malchus Yehuda, is now going to rebel. The nation of Edom appoints a king for themselves, and they are going to rebel in the middle of the night. Vayachas Edom hasovei love the esarei herechav. Edom comes with a attack, if you will. They get ready to mass an attack. They crown a king. They establish independence. And Yehoram sees this as a rebellion. He crosses over with his commanders and his chariots to fight against Edom. He smote the Edomites who surrounded them and the commanders of the chariots. However, he was not victorious, says Rabbi Dean Steindl. He did not manage to conquer their land and subdue them. So until now, Edom had been subservient, if you will, under Malchus Yehuda. Now they appoint a king, which Yehoram sees as a rebellion. He goes to attack them, but he is not successful. And the Pasuk says clearly, Pasuk Yod, where am I up to? Vayivsha Edom mitachas yad Yehuda ad hamayom hazeh. And Edom rebelled from under the hand of Yehuda until this day. Rabbi Adin Steindl says, Yehuda lost, meaning Malchus Yehuda, lost control over the Edomites who became its enemies. The tax payment stopped, which clearly was very bad for the kingdom of Yehuda, and Yehuda's security was undermined. The Edomites in the south were also able to interfere with Yehuda's trade as its commercial activity reached all the way to Eilat. Another city called Livna now rebelled at that time from under his hand. And that is really a crisis because this city, Livna, that rebelled, it also says, "As Tifsha Livna be'esahimi tachas yadu ki azavis Hashem elkei avosav." Livna is actually a city in the land of Yehuda. So it's one thing if Edom rebelled against him, but Livna is one of city in his own land. And they rebel. Why? Because he abandoned the ways of Hashem, of the God of his forefathers. He also established bamos, which are shrines, temporary offerings, which are not allowed to offer in the time of the Beis Hamikdash in the mountains of Yehuda. And so you see, he is not a good king. Vayidachas Yehuda, Yehoram leads Yehuda astray. And now, interestingly, he gets a letter from Eliyahu Hanavi, not a prophet. Until now, you've seen prophets coming to deliver the messages. But now, vayavo elav michtav me Eliyahu Hanavi lemer, a letter reaches him from Eliyahu. Excuse me. A letter reaches him from Eliyahu HaNavi. Very, very interesting. This is after Eliyahu had already ascended to heaven. Rabbi Adin Steindl says there are several explanations for this communication. Some refer to it as a miraculous event, or perhaps Eliyahu left behind a prophetic letter for Yehoram. In any event, he gets a letter from Eliyahu HaNavi. Ko amar Hashem elokei David avicha. So says Hashem, the God of David, your ancestor. Tachas asher lo halachta bedarchei Yehoshaphat avicha. You did not go in the ways of Yehoshaphat. Ubedarchei Asa melech Yehuda. And in the ways of his father, Yehoshaphat's father, Asa, the king of Yehuda. You went in the ways of the kingdom of Israel. And you caused Israel to be led astray. Vatazne es Yehuda. Like from the word zona. It caused Yehuda and the inhabitants of Yerushalayim to be led astray, kahaznos beis Achav, like the zonos, the prostitutes in the house of Achav, v'gam esachecha beis avicha atovim mimcha harakta. And not only that, but your brothers from the house of your father, who were far better than you, you killed all of them. So what is his punishment? So says Hashem. Remember, this is a miraculous letter from Eliyahu Navi. Hashem will afflict your people and with a magefa gedola, your sons and your wives and all your possessions will be afflicted with a great plague from Hashem. And for you, there will be a tremendous illness for you in your intestines, in your bowels, until your bowels fall out. So he gets a warning, basically, from Eliyahu HaNavi. He has not gone on the right path. And now, as if that's not bad enough, the spirit of the Pelishtim and the Arabians were stirred against him. Vayar Hashem al Yehoram esrucha Pelishtim v'ha'aravim asher al yad kushim. So as if he didn't have enough problems until now, Hashem stirred up the spirit of the Pelishtim and the Arabians who were near the Cushim as well. They went up against Yehuda. They breached the borders. They captured all the property in the house of the king. So you hear there's an attack. And you really see from here, from the lives of these kings in Malchus Yehuda, that the ones who go with God, who have emunah, who put their trust in Hashem, they are rewarded and their kingdoms are successful. And those who turn away from God, Yehoram, who think they are mightier, Rome, they are exalted over God, Kavyachar, Hashem pays them back in kind. And you will see Yehoram is a total failure. And now he is attacked by the Pelishtim and the Arabians who were near the Cushim. Vaya'alu b'Yehuda, the enemy comes up to Yehuda. Vayivka'uha, they breach the walls. Vayishbu as kol ha'rechush, they take as plunder, as booty, all the possessions in the palace of the king and his sons and his wives. Velo nishar lo ben ki im yeho achaz keton b'nav. Remember, Hashem said, I can't destroy him entirely because that will be the end of Malchus Yehuda. But all his wives and all his sons are slaughtered, and they were killed, and all his possessions were taken. One son remains, Yeho Achaz. Interestingly, Achaz means to hold on and to grab. Yeho Achaz, God grabbed onto this one son. Yeho Achaz is his youngest son. And after this, as if this is not enough, Nagfo Hashem b'me'av, Hashem struck him in his innards, l'chali l'ein marpe. He gets stricken with an illness that there is no healing for this illness. It was after a year and the next year, at the conclusion of 2 years, tseis haketz yamim shnayim, his innards fell out, vayamat, vayamas. And he dies from this terrible illness. Batachluim ra'im. And what kind of king was he? The people did not respect him. Because listen, v'lo asu lo ame sreifa kesreifa savoso. We spoke previously about the burning that they did to honor the deceased king. The people do not do a burning for him. He was 32 years old when he caught rulership, the pasuk says, and he ruled for 8 years. Vayelech b'lo chemda. And he went without chemda, is like a charm, something precious, Eretz Chemda, a desirable land. Vatera Yishi Kitov Ha'etz, V'nechmar Ha'etz L'Haskil. Chemda is something precious. And the king reigns at the age of 32 and rules for 8 years. Vayelech below chemda. He departed without any charm, without any preciousness. The people are not impressed. Vayik Beruhu Be'ir David. And he is buried in Ir David. However, velo bekivros hamalachim, he is not even buried in the graves of the king. So clearly the people treat him with great contempt, just like the Ribono Shel Olam is not pleased. And he gets that miraculous letter from Eliyahu HaNavi warning him of destruction. His house is almost entirely destroyed. His wives, his possessions, all of his sons. It's almost Mida Kenegan Mida. He killed all the sons of Yehoshaphat, except for one himself. So B'mida Sh'adam Modeid Modedin Lo, the way in which we measure others, God will measure us. So Mida Kenegan Mida, Hashem killed all of his sons, save for one, who the dynasty will continue, Yeho Achaz. Again, Hashem Achaz, Hashem holds on to this son, and basically, Yoram dies in shame, and he is not successful. Adam gains its independence under him, and he is buried without any honors at all. Thank you for studying together. Lilui Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef Allah Hashem. I wish you all a wonderful day. Kol Tov.